Father of the Year. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something very controversial, but I want you to understand this. I'm not promoting suicide when I say this, but I believe there have been good Christian people in a moment do something crazy.
Yeah. Amen.
And take a gun or swallow a bottle of pills and no one finds them in time and all that. We have a study on suicide. If you ever think about suicide, you need to watch that study before you do it.
Amen.
Because in that study, we talked about how that, you know, some people will go around trying to scare you, and they mean well. But they'll say, if you commit suicide, then you're not a Christian. The Bible never says such a thing.
Amen.
And Christians can do crazy things, stupid things. There's a lot of Christians who committed murder and went to prison. You know that?
Yep.
They were Christians. But they'll pay the consequences. And then they'll lose reward as well.
Yep.
Yes?
The second time it happened, when I tried suicide, and my friend caught me. I did it at work. Dumb. I got a hold of somebody else's pills. And I was slipping into a coma. And she called the squad and everything. Got me taken to the hospital. She stayed with me. You know what she told me? She said, Janie, you know, if you do this and you die, you know you're not going to heaven. And, you know, you're not a true Christian if you do this.
Yeah. But we're not going to get into, I didn't want to get into suicide this morning. Happy Mother's Day. But I do want you to understand, salvation is about Jesus Christ dying for your sins. And yes, you should repent and turn to God, and we do that, but Christians can turn back just like Lot's wife.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Lot's wife was in love with Sodom, though.
Yep.
And that's a bad thing. I mean, you're a Christian, and you're in love with this world. That's a contradiction. You're supposed to be a follower of Christ. Now, but then I've known some people, and I'll tell you that I went through a period of time where I wasn't really in love with the world, but I did kind of turn away from the service of the Lord like I ought to, and I was very discouraged, had that downtime. I've been saved for about 32 years now, and there was a period of time for about 2.5 years. I was kind of hamstrung by my situation, couldn't serve in ministry other than, you know, I could do things, but really, had one person in particular that I thought loved me, treated me terrible, betrayed me in a terrible way. But, you know, the Lord was gracious and merciful. But what if he'd come back then? What if Harold Camping had been right? And we, you know, back in the 90s when he said that Jesus was going to come back. That was about the time this was going on. I wouldn't have been in a good situation. I wouldn't have been in a good place when the Lord come back. But he's tarried, and so now, you know, I'm serving the Lord. I feel pretty good. I'm not perfect. I'm still a sinner, saved by grace, but at least I'm trying.
Amen.
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 But there's going to be some Christians who their downtime just happens to be now instead of back then. If the Lord comes now, they're going to be caught at a bad time. What's our goal? Is to not allow Satan to drag us down to that point and not to be like Lot's wife. I won't be disappointed if I go to heaven and Lot is up there and he said, "Bet you didn't think you'd see her here." I won't be upset. Amen?
Amen.
But she was in love with the world and not in love with the Lord at this time when this happened. That much is clear. So which way do you face? This is a question for you. Not for your neighbor, not for me, I have to ask myself this question. You ask yourself, which way do you face? Are you facing Sodom and destruction or facing Jesus and salvation?
Amen.
That's the question for everyone this morning. Are you facing Sodom and destruction? And yes, for a saved person can turn back toward the world. And they'll be destroyed in this life. You can lose your health because of it. You can lose your reputation because of it. You definitely lose your joy because of it. But only you and Jesus know if you're saved.
Amen.
Janice and I had a discussion a couple times recently about someone else. And said, who are they saved? Say, only they and Jesus know. Only you and Jesus know. You need to understand, if you're facing this world and you're in love with this world, the question is that because I'm saved but I'm tripping, I'm having a bad turn here, or is it because I need saved? Because if you're a Christian and you're facing the world in love with the world, you're not acting like a Christian. And that's how we have to leave it. This is between you and the Lord. But the word of the Lord says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why Lot's wife turned back. She loved the world. Jesus explains back in our text in Luke 17:33, after he says, remember Lot's wife. He says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now I'm guessing, but I believe that Lot's wife, when she turned back towards Sodom, it was because that's her life. It's what she'd known. It's where home is. Everything she, not just her belongings, whatever friendships she had, memories. And so she turned back, I think, trying to, you know, just knowing she can't probably, but people get desperate and they'll turn and thinking, oh, my whole life is going up in flames. Seeking to save her life, she lost it.
Think she had other kids that might have been
there? I've heard speculation on that, but I don't, they never mention them, so that's why I don't think so.
Well, wasn't there at least two sons, right?
Sons-in-law.
Sons-in-law, and the ones that they took were not married.
Yeah, but that gets into the whole betrothal thing and all that.
Okay, oh yeah.
But again, verse 33, Lot's wife looked back longing for the life she loved, which was a thing God hated. I don't have to guess about that. When God destroys something completely, it means He hates it. When this world and your own fleshly desires rule your heart, you'll lose it all. I always say this. Divorce. You'll hear people all the time say, it takes two to tango. There are a lot of people divorced because one party went worldly. And that's enough to destroy a marriage.
Amen.
There are homes that everything's fine, but when one of the kids, I was that kid. I'm not. My mom would testify. She's nice about it. She don't talk a lot about it. But our home, three kids, mom and dad, they've been married for, my dad told a joke when his mom and dad were celebrating their, I think it was their 50th anniversary. And he got up and said, you know, it's an honor to speak at my mom and dad's 50th anniversary right after my 52nd birthday. Or 51st, whatever. He's joking, but it's still funny. But my mom and dad have been married, I'm trying to think how many years now. Mom's going to say, how could you not remember that? But I'm going to be 53. My sister's, I better not say. She's older. So they're pushing towards 60 years. At some point, you know, very soon. I can't remember the exact number. So, you know, I didn't come from a broken home. I didn't have the excuse my parents neglected me. I didn't have any excuses. But I was that kid. I fell in love with this world, and I caused a lot of problems. You see, my mom and dad have gray hair, and I put a lot of those there. That's all I can say. And it ruined my life, and I'd probably be dead now if I had not repented and been saved. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Why does he talk like that? That's mean. That's mean. Because you're supposed to be espoused to the Lord. If you're in love with the world, then you're a cheater. Spiritual adultery. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How many came here today hoping that you'd find out the key to be the enemy of God? There you go. You want to be an enemy of God, then be a friend of the world. It's that easy. It's that simple. It made Lot's wife a bad example as a mother, which seems to have rubbed off on her daughters. I just want to take a minute to look at this again in Genesis 19. There's just something lacking here in these girls when we read this. Genesis 19, beginning verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He wanted to go to Zoar, and then he was, that place is so wicked, he ended up going to the mountain anyway.
Yeah.
And his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And here we go. The firstborn, verse 31, said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Now, I've got to say this. But, man, when I was a teenager, I was so clueless about the world. And these girls were just so probably into themselves and how they look and their friends and their boyfriends and, you know, and all that kind of thing. And they didn't even know there was a world outside of where they lived. And then they saw the destruction. They thought, God must be destroying the whole world. There's not even a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, verse 32, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. And verse 33 begins to describe it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's an ugly scene. Amen. An ugly account. Incest. And the offspring become enemies of Israel for couple thousand years, and really some of their offspring are still to this day enemies of Israel. Bad stuff, bad repercussions. But Jesus told us to remember all this. You're, as a parent, you can be a great parent, you can be God fearing, Bible believing. My parents were, and your kids can still turn on you. I mean, Eve had the perfect father. Amen. And what'd she do? But the thing is, as a parent, make sure it's not your fault. Make sure you're not the influence that causes them to go down that path. I don't want to get too personal here, but I'm just telling you that I've known some good parents who loved their kids, sacrificed for them, raised them in the Word, took them to church, etc., etc. But those kids, they still have a free will. So the question is, are you infected with the same love for a wicked fallen world like Lot's wife was? How do you feel about this world? I know some professing Christians, they know everything to know about Hollywood and all their favorite entertainers, but they don't know hardly anything about God's Word. How's that work? Are they saved? Don't ask me. Above my pay grade, but I would tell them there's something wrong with their profession. Profess to be a believer in Christ, and all you worry about are all these wicked people. I'm sorry, most all of you don't think they're wicked? Go watch some of that Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial. I mean, I haven't even watched it. I've just been seeing the talk about it. And it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, really.
They're typical in Hollywood. Being like Lot's wife will make you a bad what? It'll make you a bad mother. It'll make you a bad father. It'll make you a bad son. It'll make you a bad daughter. It'll make you a bad sibling. It'll make you a bad friend. It'll make you a bad neighbor. It'll make you a bad coworker. It'll make you a bad leader. It'll make you a bad anything. Just wanted to cover all the bases there. There's an easy fix. Really is. The love of God.
Amen.
Easy fix. Man, when I got saved, I immediately became too radical for most Christians. Hasn't that happened to you? I mean, I got saved, and because I realized this world is just a big waste.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm not boasting, but when I got saved, I was one of the most popular kids in my school, and I had plenty of friends, and I was always being invited to all the parties and everything. Well, I kept going for a little while. I didn't have enough sense to realize I probably shouldn't even bother, but I go to these parties, and, you know, and they wanted me to, you know, the ball, you know, and all that kind of thing. And I said, "Nah, I'm all right." And then, you know, the left-handed cigarette get passed around. I mean, I'm okay. And the girls, you know, and all that. I'm all right. I'm good. Suddenly, I wasn't any fun anymore. And dropping like flies. I wouldn't even find out about the parties going on. That never happened before. They weren't even telling me about the parties at some point. And one time I was at a party and a bunch of guys were really getting on to me. "Well, you got all religious now, man. You ain't even fun anymore." You know, and then one guy who wasn't a Christian, I don't even know why, but he spoke up and said, "Yeah, leave him alone, man. You know, you and I both know what he's doing is what all of us ought to do." Yeah. The love of God replaces our love of this world. I believe if you're really saved, then you don't have to be told that. I think when you get saved, you realize Jesus has saved you out of a wicked world. He's not only saved you from hell, but He saved you out of this wicked world. And you realize, you know, just God doesn't want anything to do with that. And there's something in you called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And He will not want anything to do with that world. Our final text, I want to run over to Romans 5. And Lord put me under conviction because I'd see a slide and I'd say, "This is our last text," and it turned out it wasn't. So I put a little note to myself so I can say it, not have to confess my sin and be forgiven later. Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is it. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And then he says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Read verse 5 with me. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." That's something I can't really describe to you. It's something you'll have to experience, but I will try. You get saved. The Holy Spirit comes into you. Suddenly you love the Lord. Suddenly you love Jesus Christ. Suddenly I didn't give a flip if anybody thought I was a religious nut. I went around telling you, it's not religion. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I love what He did for me. I'm not religious. I'm not doing a bunch of religious works and acts and all that kind of thing. Yeah, I think you should go to church. Yeah, I think you should pray. Yeah, you should read your Bible. Yeah, you should support the church. Yeah, you should tell people about Jesus. You should do all those things out of love.
Amen.
I don't need a list. I don't have a list checking off every day, making sure I do all the religious stuff. I have a love relationship with the Lord, and so I serve Him out of love and I do those things. And I have such a hope that I never had before. I have such peace that I never had before. It's just there. It's a supernatural thing. But there are two faces of God. Again, the face of wrath and damnation.
Yeah. Amen.
Or the face of grace and love. That's the choice you're going to make. Everybody in this world has to make that choice. You reach, we talked about it before, the state of mind where you understand. Children grow up and reach that point at different ages. But the only person you can handle is you. The person you're responsible for is you. What about you? Which way are you facing? Turn to Him for grace today. He made it so simple. Just a couple of Bible verses explains it. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ." You're going this way. That's the world. God's that way. What do? Turn. Repent toward God. But not just some generic God, not that spaghetti monster in the sky you hear about or anything like that. You turn to the God of the Bible who became a man in Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless, died on a cross, shedding His blood to pay for your sins. Moreover, brethren, I declare in you the gospel. How simple is this? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When He died on that cross, He said, "It is finished." He's paid the price. They put His dead body in a tomb. And after 3 days, He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And He had told them before, "When you see Me do this to My body, they'll tear down this temple. I will raise it again. I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." When you know that Jesus is risen, then you know that by faith in His death, burial, and resurrection, you are saved. And one day, He will raise you from the grave.
Amen.
That's Christianity. Not about religion. It's about a man. The man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to sing a song called "A Christian Home," because the problem with Lot's wife had a lot to do with the home. The choice of where to live, and evidently the choice of how they lived inside their home. And the Bible itself tells us that the Word of God is something we are to read daily, and we should talk about it with our children.
Amen.
In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Watch a movie with the kids, and anytime something comes up that touches on the Word, talk about it.
Amen.
Take a trip with the kids, and you see something out there, go to the Grand Canyon. Tell them how crazy it is that they try to claim that this is all, you know, big, didn't have anything to do with Genesis flood and all that kind of thing. Educate your kids with the Word. Amen? So let's sing.
Oh, give us close, upon the Savior, where Christ is head and Shepherd and guide, where every child is taught His love and favor, and gives His heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though His footsteps waver, faithful Lord is walking by His side. Oh, give us homes with godly fathers, mothers, who always place their hope and trust in Him, whose tender patience her in the town.
Amen.
Amen.